This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, April 5th, 2024. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, how plastic is affecting the environment and workers. The Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour. The International Negotiating Committee on Plastic Pollution will be conducting a conference in Montreal, April 23rd to 29th, 2024. The intergovernmental body is working on the creation of a global treaty on plastics. Labour will be represented at the conference. I talked to Daria Cibraio about the INC. Ms. Cibraio is the policy officer at Public Services International for local and regional government workers and multinational enterprises. The PSI represents more than 30 million workers in 154 countries. I asked Ms. Cibraio to describe what can be a very complex topic, the effect of plastics on the environment.
It is a very, very serious issue, certainly from the PSI perspective, but I think from the perspective of the larger labor movement and for the world as a whole. This is why it has been picked up even at the multilateral level, even if it is certainly complex. Let me tell you just a few data that I hope will exemplify how serious the issue is. If we just look at the production of waste, all mixed. Just think that by 2050, the projections tell us that there will be 73% more waste than there was in 2020. So that means that the world in 2050 will produce 3.80 billion tons per year, which is already huge. Then if we look at plastic waste, as of now, the world is producing 430 million tons of plastics per year, and two-thirds of those are used on a very short period basis or are just a single use. Just think of food and beverage packaging, plastic cutlery, but also medical supplies such as gloves, syringes, and surgical tools. Plus, think of the personal protective equipment, the PPE, for many essential and frontline workers, such as firefighters and public emergency workers. So if we look at all of that, the brief life cycle of this kind of plastics equates to over 2,000 garbage trucks, think 2,000 garbage trucks full of plastics dumped in our oceans, rivers, and lakes every single day. And last data, plastic pollution is set to triple by 2060 if no action is taken. So it is really mind-boggling. But one additional threat is certainly the fact that plastics gets into waterways, into rivers, if it is not well collected, sorted, and disposed of. And there's now 85% of marine litter is plastics. And we find now plastics in the guts of a lot of marine animals, birds, fish, including in the water. The last point I want to make, which is micro and nanoplastics. Indeed, when plastics hits the water, at some point it decays and we don't see it anymore with our human eye. But that doesn't mean that the plastics is gone away. It just turned into such small fragments, so small that sometimes can permeate and trespass the membrane of our human and animal cells and lodge themselves into organs. So as of today, 75% of samples of breast milks that are checked contain micro and nanoplastics. And so we do not yet know what the implications for human health and for the environment and for the life on Earth is. This is how serious the problem is.
What are some of the recommendations the PSI has made to alleviate plastic pollution?
Well, first of all, we as public service workers representative, we want and constantly remind the negotiators and our allies that waste services are an essential public service for every community and they are key for the protection of public health and the environment. And therefore, we argue for the recognition of proper, safe, modern, decent waste management systems as public services operated on a public good approach. We believe, therefore, that they need to be in public hands, operated not for profit extraction, but to solve the problem of the plastic waste crisis the world is encountering. And we are also arguing that this is a great opportunity to turn the course of plastic waste pollution into an opportunity to develop decent employment opportunities, especially for informal waste workers who can be progressively made formal and brought into decent jobs if so they wish. We also demand that there be adequate levels of public investment. These infrastructures need long-term investment in very complex infrastructure, but there must also be adequate investment in the social infrastructure, meaning the workers who have to operate and keep the environment and public health safe. And that can only happen if there's decent work that goes with this kind of vision. Can I also add one last point, which is very key?
Of course.
That one is just transition. Now, the just transition concept that we as labor movement, PSI and other colleagues at the INC negotiations are referring to is actually the one that is anchored within the concept of the International Labour Organization, meaning the respect for workers' rights, regardless of the employment status in this transition, the protection of all workers in vulnerable conditions, those who are exposed to plastics, but also social dialogue with workers' organizations at all stages of the negotiation process on whatever will come out on this instrument as actionable decisions that will also have to be funded on how to deal with the scourge of the plastic waste pollution. The reality is that for now, the concept of just transition within UNEP tends to refer to the inclusion of informal workers in public procurement systems of local governments or national systems. And that is just a part of the story. And we would actually prefer that the just transition concept be not reinvented, but be built upon starting on the ILO definition. Another absolutely critical aspect of this negotiation, which unfortunately has not got the visibility and the debate, is the occupational health and safety dimension. Plastics by itself, so when it's static, may not necessarily be seen as a hazardous substance, but in fact it can be. In many countries, compounds and chemical products that are related and get into the production of plastics and even into its recycling, that is why the circular economy may not be as safe as some think, actually create health and occupational hazards for the many workers who are exposed to plastic production and to plastic waste removal and disposal. These toxic and hazardous substances and chemicals can cause endocrine disruption, chronic conditions via inhalation, ingestion, or dermal contact. And all the workers that I enumerated beforehand can actually have these kind of problems. This is why it is absolutely critical that in the text of the agreement there be reference to the ILO Convention 155 on Occupational Health and Safety and on Convention 170 on chemicals.
You can find more information about the work of the PSI on issues such as plastic pollution at www.publicservices.international. Here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top story section included links to a piece from the good folks at Hazards magazine detailing how global heating has become a critical workplace safety issue around the world, and updates on the violent attacks on garment union activists in Bangladesh, a country where the assassination of trade unionists is far from unknown. This week's Labor Start podcast is a double bill with an interview with an Egyptian trade unionist in which the Mahalla garment workers' walkout is discussed. Our second episode is an interview with the president of the Canadian Labor Congress in which she reveals how and why unions in Canada are succeeding in their long-standing fight to gain legislation banning the use of scabs in labor disputes. On our Working Women News page, you'll find details about how Britain's Trades Union Congress plans to close the gender pay gap in this generation, a profile of a pioneering Bermudan trade union leader, and from Indonesia, the news that the Women's Committee of the Chemical Energy and Mine Workers Union has won its battle to create safe houses on or near factories employing women workers. The safe houses will ensure a secure environment for women workers in which to voice their issues relating to violence and harassment both at work and at home. They will also host training on violence and harassment at the factory level. Stories on our health and safety page in Newswire this week include a huge increase in deaths and injuries involving road construction workers in Canada and how their union is responding, why sewage repair workers are suddenly the target of abuse by members of the public in the United Kingdom, and what Kenyan unions are doing to reduce workplace violence directed at healthcare workers. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Polly Z, Tony Cortez, and students from the Hong Kong Harbor School with Plastic Ocean.
Did you know the world's creating a plastic ocean, damaging the earth and hurting our emotions? Still our dream, we can get it clean. All we need's a unified devotion to get it crystal clear now. If you like that notion, all you've gotta do is think of it, just use less of it. Won't you follow me, help me save the sea? Feel like the ocean's dying. I don't wanna swim in a plastic ocean.
And that's it. Labor news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.